Lecture 44, The Protestant Reformation, Martin Luther.
Welcome once again to our course of lectures on the foundations of Western civilization. This time, lecture number 44. This lecture inaugurates a series of three in which we're going to look at the religious reformations of the 16th century. In this lecture, we'll begin in particular with the Protestant Reformation, and more particularly with the life and career and ideas of Martin Luther. Now, the Protestant Reformation constitutes one of the watershed moments in Western civilization. Of that, there can be no doubt. But having said that, how exactly are we to understand this phenomenon? What are we actually describing here? What are the central issues that we need to explain? How do we try to assess the short and the long-term significance of this phenomenon that we call the Protestant Reformation? In the first place, for instance, we need to acknowledge that there were actually many religious movements in the 16th century, that many, maybe all of these, could legitimately be called reformations. So how do we pick and choose among them? How do we differentiate? Does a single term, reformation, capture the essence, the significance of all these different phenomena? In a certain way, our problem of labeling is just like the one we faced when we were talking about the Renaissance. You know, what does that word exactly attach to? Now, the question of the religious reformations in the 16th century is also somewhat difficult to approach because there is an old polemical tradition. I mean, happily one senses that this is less in evidence today than formerly, but there is an old polemical tradition that basically sees an opposition between Protestants and Catholics. Now, the problem with that view, apart from the fact that it's historically inaccurate, is that it actually doesn't do justice to anybody. It doesn't really help us to understand what was going on. You know, if we were to look at this whole religious history of the 16th century, from the vantage point, let's say, of an Orthodox Christian, that's a capital O Orthodox, or from the standpoint of a Muslim, these would be people who have never understood what the fuss was all about. I mean, as far as they're concerned, this is just a kind of a tiff inside Latin Christianity. It's important to emphasize that Protestants disagreed with one another as sharply as many of them disagreed with Catholics. So there was not a Catholic side where everybody kind of held to one point of view and a Protestant side where everybody else held to another point of view. It's very important, too, in fairness to the Protestant reformers, about whom much more as we go along, to say that they did not see themselves as anti-Catholic. This is not what they did. This is not what they thought. This is not how they approached the world. They didn't get out of bed one morning and say, I have a good idea. Let's get rid of Catholicism. These were people who were advancing positive teachings of their own, positive doctrines of their own, positive ideas of their own. And they were returning to what they believed to be the authentic wellsprings of the Christian tradition in the Bible and in the days of the early church. So we must say that in trying to understand Protestantism will never get very far if we see it as somehow anti-Catholicism. The word Reformation is an ambiguous one. It's a word that we use from time to time in our ordinary English speech, not necessarily to apply to this historical period of the 16th century. But Reformation, you know, can mean reform. In a certain sense, in other words, to make over. I'm going to return. I'm going to make again. I'm going to take back to an earlier position. But reform can also have the sense of make better. I'm going to improve something. Now, we'll see that in the course of the 16th century, it's possible to understand reform or reformation in both of those two ways, make over and make better. All right.